Welcome to the Two Daft Yanks Podcast, the show that brings you tidbits from all aspects of the soccer world. Sometimes serious, sometimes zany, always opinionated. Now, here are your hosts, Chad Smith and Corey Chatelain.
You are listening to the Two Daft Yanks Podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith. And joining me, as always, is my co-host up in the polar Two Daft Yanks Studios, Mr. Corey Chatelain.
Glory, glory, Danny Welbeck. Glory, glory, Danny Welbeck. Glory, glory, Danny Welbeck. Hong Kong Man U guy now supports City. Yeah.
Oh, Corey opening the show with a supporters chant of sorts.
Yeah. Yeah, I guarantee you, our old buddy from our original podcast, the Hong Kong Man U guy, I guarantee you he supports City now.
Or Chelsea. Especially,
yeah. Well, maybe even all three.
Maybe all three.
Yeah. But just, yeah, especially after today.
All right. Well, let's, with that, I don't know what else to say. Let's just get the crowd fired up and start the show.
Yeah, let's go.
A lot on the agenda today, but first we must give a very special thanks to the boys at Low Limit Football. Hopefully yesterday you were able to catch our MLS Live special as we watched Orlando City draw NYCFC.
Yeah, no, it was a really good time. And like we said during the broadcast yesterday, shocker of all shockers, we actually all enjoyed the MLS match.
Yes,
genuinely, you know, we didn't even fake it.
Yeah, so 3 hours of talking MLS, and my theory was that perhaps Corey and I, our fate would be something similar to the movie Scanners after such an event.
Yeah, instead we were actually treated to a decent game, so, you know.
Our heads did not implode, so if you did not catch that podcast, the game was kind of secondary. We talked about all kinds of issues in the MLS with Joe and Rob at Low Limit Football, and you could see that podcast is on our feed. And then we encourage you as well to go to YouTube and check out and type in Low Limit Football, and you'll get to see the archives of their show. And we talked about it. Nothing's official, but I can pretty much guarantee you that at some point in the future we will have another event similar to that again. So thank you to everybody who listened and provided feedback.
Yeah, and I definitely like the kind of quasi show, but, you know, mixed with anecdotes along the way. That was definitely, like I said, it was definitely a fun day. So looking forward to do it again, hopefully soon.
Well, you know, we enjoyed it so much, Corey. How about this? How about we just scrap all the content here and we just do 3 hours full-blown MLS every week?
Whoa. I didn't mean to imply doing it over MLS games every time.
No, I'm talking about our show.
Oh,
we go 3 hours of nothing but MLS?
Well, you know, if you're going to pay me that $100,000 like that MLS show, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get bailed out by somebody like they did time after time.
Right. But, yeah, just saying, that's probably what it would take me to agree to that.
Okay, well, let's get to the rundown. We're just joking with Corey. We're not going full-blown MLS. That would be terrible. But we are going to talk about the only league match in the Premier League this past weekend. We will then move our attention to the FA Cup. We then have a triple play, or a treble, this week in Daphnis. And then we're going to kind of look at the bigger picture here as we wrap up the show, as we approach the run into the season, and look at the table where things stand in the Premier League in terms of the European places and relegation, and then also dip down into the championship and look at the interesting things that are going on there. So, as always, we thank you for listening to the show, and let's get the crowd fired up one more time, and we'll get moving here.
Yeah, And all the fans are excited as I was at the ref carding three people for diving yesterday. That was probably my favorite part of the game, actually.
Yeah, three cheers for you, sir, whoever you are. I don't even know. I didn't even catch his name.
Me neither. I'm just going to call him McCourage Referee, though, because, like I said, it was definitely... Yeah, I don't know, or Couragey McRef or something, you know. I was just glad somebody had the courage to do that. Finally,
got it. Gotcha. All right, we're gonna gun MLS out.
Okay.
No more mention of MLS, please.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Saturday kicking off the action of football. It was the replay match because Spurs played in the League Cup against Chelsea the week before, so they played their makeup match at Loftus Road against QPR. Your final score, Spurs 2, QPR 1. Everybody knows that I watched, of course, and I'm pretty sure you watched the match as well, Corey.
Yeah, being the only league game, I got up and watched.
Okay, so you need to know that Harry Kane scored the brace, and then former Spurs player Sandro actually scored a goal to where it looked like Hugo Lloris was heavily screened, and the Tottenham defense, for whatever reason, decided that the ball was going to kill them, so they dove out of the way.
Yeah, as I tweeted, and you responded a minute later saying you thought the same thing, that Lloris definitely had to be screened, because if he wasn't, it was a terrible play on his part, because it was a fairly weak shot and near post, and a keeper of Lloris's quality shouldn't have been beat there. So he obviously had to be, line of sight obviously had to be blocked.
Yes, he was screened by Ryan Mason, I do believe, who, for whatever reason, smack dab in the middle of the box, decided to turn his back. I will never understand that. Now, does it hurt getting hit by a soccer ball? Yes. I've played many a games, but you just hang in there. It's a soccer ball. It's not going to break your leg. The worst thing that's going to happen is what? Maybe it hits you in the nose. It breaks your nose. Okay. But your job as a defender or a midfielder, is to block the ball. Is that not correct? Would you agree with that fact?
Yeah. And, you could also make the argument that when you turn your back, if there's a deflection, obviously you lose sight of the ball, because now you have to turn and find the ball, where in theory, when you're facing the ball and you block it, you should be able to pick up, the deflection angle a lot easier, because you're obviously not turning.
Yeah, and when you turn, you open up your body for an angle to where the ball is more easily going to get deflected into your net.
Yes.
At an odd angle where your keeper is wrong-footed.
Yeah, no, I agree. But that's, that could kind of fall in those one of those categories that John Townsend's always talking about, that, guys just want to play, but they don't want to put in the actual effort to play well.
Maybe. And so maybe next time we have John on, we'll ask him about his thought when he sees that, and to see what people, at a high level are taught in that situation. So that's something that we could ask John. But just to get some more thoughts on this game here, it was pretty disjointed. QPR is definitely going more long ball in an effort to try to, score some goals, get some points to stave off relegation, which, as we've talked about before, sounds like more than ever that if they get relegated, it could be the end of their club, because them being booted out of the Football League is looking like a very real proposition at this point in time due to financial fair play reasons.
Yeah, I mean, they would obviously have to be reborn again in the amateur levels, which not being a town side, just being one of the myriad clubs in London, that would definitely be interesting to see if they just go flat out defunct and nobody picks up the license, or somebody comes in and turns them into what they call a Phoenix club.
Yes, so there'll be plenty of time to discuss that when and if it happens, but it's not looking too good for them, and we'll get more into that and their situation that they're facing in the short term in terms of points and survival here later in the show. I guess I already mentioned that Harry Kane scored the brace, so he ups his goal total. And I think right now the only two players who have more goals than him are Aguero and Costa. Or am I off in that?
Yep.
So those are the only two. And mind you that he didn't start a league match until November. So he's third leading scorer in the Premier League, and he hasn't really played on a weekly basis until November. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, what? And they said on the they said on the broadcast he's something like only the second or third player ever to score in six straight away matches or something, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. So there we go, Harry Kane. So Spurs win. That was their game in hand. So they're within
striking distance. You're not going to do your obligatory hurricane warning?
No,
hurricane
I don't do that.
Hurricane klaxon? Okay.
No, I don't do that. Enough other idiots do that for me. To where I don't have to be an idiot. Now, here's a follow-up question, and I asked this on Twitter, and I asked you, and we talked about it, and it's clear now what has happened. Now, Chelsea was in the League Cup final, obviously, because they won. They beat Spurs. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, their match, who is against Leicester City, was scheduled for later in the season instead of this open weekend. And the only reason I could think of why it wasn't scheduled is because the FA was trying to protect Chelsea for this important Champions League match they have at Stamford Bridge against PSG. So I haven't got any proof of that, but I can't think of any other reason why they wouldn't be playing that game. Unless, I guess I should take that back. I can't remember. Was that game supposed to be at home or away? Now, it's possible that the police often say, hey, we don't, with if there's, you know, X amount of matches in London already, they'll say, hey, we don't have the police force to be able to add on to that extra game, and it will spread us too thin. So that's a possibility. I'll throw that out there. But do you think there's some shenanigans going on with this Chelsea scheduling?
Yeah, I'm not sure, because I never did, like you, I never did see the reason, or I never saw an article stating why the match wasn't played, because as I told you in an IM earlier in the day, or on Friday, whenever it was, that traditionally the English FA doesn't move matches like the French and Italian and Spanish FAs tend to do to protect the clubs that are still alive in European tournaments. So if that's what they're going to start doing, I find it curious that it's done for Chelsea's sake, especially in the wake of the of all the recent campaign against Chelsea stuff coming from Mourinho's camp. Now, again, I don't know. You know, obviously, we'd have to do some more research to find the exact reason. But if that is actually the case, then that's exactly why people like Mourinho do those campaigns, to where it's one of those. Even if what he's saying isn't actually factually correct, it kind of almost falls in the category of it becomes such an annoyance, you just start agreeing with the person just to get him out of your hair. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it puts pressure on the match officials and other non-match officials in decision-making positions to perhaps throw Chelsea a bone without knowing it. It's like the ultimate Jedi trick.
Yeah, and like I said, it's just, to me, that's what it basically kind of boils down to. It becomes one of those, you know, somebody says it for so, you know, it's like the old thing that you say a lie for so long that you start to believe it. So, but not in the sense that you're believing the lie, but just that you almost begin to agree with the, like I said, almost out of a just wanting to be rid of the annoyance than actually agreeing with the person.
So this is all speculation, of course, but I haven't – usually these reasons are put out, and if it was a police matter, I think you'd have seen an article on that page. So if the FA is throwing Chelsea a bone here, I think that's ridiculous, because why should they start treating them different than any other club? Especially when I talked about the fact that Chelsea had a full week off, where Spurs had to go to Italy the week before – or 3 days before a major cup final. So – You know, if you're not going to help Spurs out in that situation, why are you helping Chelsea in the Champions League? Anyway, so there's that in the league, and I don't know what the premier matches are this weekend. Do you know off the top of your head what we have coming up this weekend?
Chelsea-Southampton is probably the best one from what I remember. I would have to pull up the schedule real quick. But yeah, I definitely know Chelsea and Southampton are playing this weekend. We play West Ham. It's probably you and Spurs, or Spurs and Man U. Don't you all
play this weekend? Oh, yes. Yeah, we're playing Manchester United. And we've beaten them twice in a row at Old Trafford, so it's not even a big game to me anymore. I'm like, yeah.
Just another game. Especially after today. I mean, everybody's going to Old Trafford and pulling out wins now, right?
Yes. All right. Here's the schedule. Just looking things of note. You have Leicester and Hull, which is kind of a relegation type of game. Sunderland and Aston Villa, that'll have some implications. Arsenal, West Ham, so you got a London derby there. And that is West Ham's fourth derby in a row, which is a very odd schedule thing. And then on Sunday, the Spurs game got moved to Sunday? I thought it was on Saturday. Oh, okay.
Yeah, all three of the games on Sunday are actually pretty good this week.
Yeah, Chelsea, Southampton, Manchester United, Tottenham, and then Everton, Newcastle. And I'd imagine all three of those will be on NBC. So, the Man U Tottenham game is at the same time as Everton, Newcastle. So bar that. So, okay, I didn't know our game got moved because I have Tottenham, like a lot of clubs, they send you. You could download their schedule and, you know, and import it into your phone's calendar.
Right.
But sometimes when they move games for TV, it doesn't update. So my schedule showed it being on Saturday, so it's on Sunday. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, I say maybe they moved it the extra day because of the League Cup thing. Who knows?
Maybe. Who knows? Yeah. No, it's probably moved for TV. So there you go. So there's the league, and I guess we should move on to the FA Cup now, which was a very entertaining weekend in the FA Cup. I don't know. Do you want to make your point about the FA Cup in the media, or do you want to talk about the matches first?
I'll just make it real quick. Well, real quick for me, because I just wanted to like the comment I told you this morning that when I get into work this morning while my work programs are booting up, you know, I throw on Sky Sports just to see, the little pregame banter kind of stuff. And when I pop open the Score Center, I'm amused when the four games listed on the default homepage for their Score Center are three Champions League matches, which aren't even played until tomorrow, and a top of the table championship clash. So, which of course, when I IM'd you, I'm amused because Sky Sports is one of those media outlets that's always boohooing about, has the FA Cup lost its luster? And then I see stuff like that, and I'm like, well, you're a media conglomerate that's helping control the narrative of the game in England, and you have three matches, on your Score Center that are listed as a Champions League matches on the default homepage, when you have a traditional big club rivalry in your Premier Cup competition on the same day that's not even listed, and yet you're going to sit back and push that meme of, well, why has the FA Cup lost its luster? Well, you're part of the problem when you're doing stuff like that, and then you're going to write articles wondering why fans don't treat the FA Cup that important anymore. It's like, well, because outlets like you are pushing matchups on days that aren't even being played yet, you know?
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I'm pretty sure we've had this conversation either last year or the year before, so nothing's changed.
Yeah, and like I said, it's just funny to me that, because it's, again, it's kind of your, not all journalists, but there's a certain section of journalism that they want to direct the narrative, but then they don't want to take responsibility for the ramifications of the stories they write. So, like I said, that's the thing that kind of irritates me about that meme of, well, why has the FA Cup lost its importance? It's like, well, because big media outlets like you talk more about the Champions League.
Yes. Now let's move on to the action in this quarterfinal round in the FA Cup. And there, just a little spoiler, there's a lot unsolved, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Now, for I just want to make another point of, now, the coverage by NBC Sports has spoiled me to the point, as we all know, that every game is available either through your TV or online, depending on where you're at. And when Fox Sports, who has multiple channels, decides to put it on FS2 just because they're in some pissing match with the cable companies, and then you can't even watch these games on their free streaming service because they're still charging $20 a month for Fox Soccer Plus, which has little to nothing to offer at this point in time. And so I'm sick. I'm not going to deal with the streams and the viruses and the pop-ups. So the only match I watched this weekend, the only match I watched was Liverpool and Blackburn. So I just want to make that point again. Fox, they have all these channels. They have regional channels. They have main Fox. If they really wanted to. Do you remember when they used to put FA Cup matches on main Fox? At this time of year, they used to do that. And for whatever reason, they don't. What are they showing on Saturday mornings?
Well, I was going to say
Sunday mornings. Nothing.
And there was the one year where I think they even threw a couple of the matches on the main Fox before their Sunday sports coverage, which I think was like some NASCAR race or something.
Yeah. So as I said, it's just disappointing to me. Fox really isn't in it. They're trying to get FS2 widely distributed, and I understand that. But why pay money for an event that you have no intention on actually showing to people? Makes no sense to me, and I'm going to mention this every time. So I'm sorry if you're sick and tired of hearing me bitch about Fox. Well, as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, Fox's lack of coverage is going to be just as reliable.
Yeah, because as much as people like to bash Fox News, the channel that really deserves it in the Fox family are the Fox Sports channels, because they really do play politics, and they do it with sports channels.
And they love Liverpool.
Yes.
Which we should have known because they did that reality show on the last year of Fox Soccer Channel. So maybe there's some kind of deal, they're cahoots, because Liverpool matches seem to be always on, no matter who they're playing.
Yeah, which that's probably, you probably have a bunch of backroom people that were older English gentlemen, which, most people that are a little older than us, late 40s, early 50s, tend to be Liverpool supporters.
You have the John Henry Northeast
right.
American owner connection as well.
Right. Yeah, because let me clarify, when I say most Englishmen are a little older than us, most of the journalists, because their golden age, or when they were coming up in journalism, obviously Liverpool were the five-time kings of Europe at the time. So
my only point is Fox has tons of channels that are available on most cable packages, but still they put this prestigious cup competition on a channel that nobody gets, and then do not offer you a streaming of it free because they're trying to get you to call your cable company all mad when they can put it on their regional Fox channels, which everybody has, there's nothing being shown at that time in the morning.
Well, yeah, because let me ask you this. You're telling me you saw Blackburn 1?
Sorry, you cut out there for a second.
Are you telling me you saw Liverpool and Blackburn on Fox 1?
Yes, that was the only match on the weekend that was on Fox 1.
Okay, well, guess my Fox 1 did not have Blackburn-Liverpool.
Really?
My Fox 1 had some motocross garbage.
Oh, okay. Well that's really interesting.
That's why I had to watch it on, I had to take the chance and watch it on a potential virus stream, because my two choices, Fox 1 or the two Fox channels, I don't get Fox 2 up here. And the Fox 1 had some kind of motocross garbage.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes, I don't know if that was like a what, because I know sometimes networks have a they defer to their regional directors, or you know their regional programming directors. So I don't know if there was like some kind of big motocross weekend out here in the West or something. But yeah, my Fox One had some kind of motocross thing.
Okay, well, yeah, that's something that we'll have to check out to see what happened there. But let's get talking about the actual matches.
Yeah, let's go.
We're gonna spend more time complaining about Fox, which is. We shouldn't even just do. We should just say Fox dropped the ball again and move on. So I think that's what we'll do from now on.
Right, we'll just have a spinoff pod about bitching about Fox.
Yeah. All right. Saturday started off. Bradford was hosting Reading, and that ended up in a 0-0 draw. There will be a replay coming up, I do believe, next week.
Yes, next Wednesday.
I did not hear anything about that match, so I don't know if you have any notes to pass along.
No, because that was the one game that my Fox showed on Saturday, and it was far too early for me. Because it was a, I think it was a 3:45 start for me, which, you know, when my club's not playing, that's too early.
Okay, so that was on Fox 1? So I didn't think it was, so.
Well, that's what I was saying. It was on my Fox 1.
Okay. Next up later that day was a very big match with Aston Villa taking on West Brom. And Tim Sherwood gets his team to Wembley, and we'll probably never hear the end of it.
Yeah, because that's definitely something that you can guarantee he's going to stick on his resume and, you know, use it to jump into some kind of, you know, say like the Everton job when Roberto Martinez leaves.
I guess the highlights of this match, both teams were red carded, and at least one of them was complete garbage by Anthony Taylor.
Yeah, the West Brom red card sending off Claudio Jakob was pretty ridiculous, if you ask me. Because it was, like I said, when you watch the replay of the incident, he technically pulls out of the challenge, technically doesn't even make a challenge, and whoever the guy was, I think it was Agbonlahor, sliding into him, basically hurts himself by kicking Jakob's shin. And somehow Jakob gets sent off. Like I said, it was pretty ridiculous.
I'm not surprised at all with Anthony Taylor, and how he keeps drawing these games is beyond me.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is that not only does he keep getting games, he keeps getting these seemingly high-profile games. Because, you know, I mean, a FA Cup quarterfinal, you figure you're going to put a ref that's, you know, not some schlub or not some up-and-coming guy. So, I don't know. To me, it's one of those that it subtly shows that there's certain refs that, for whatever reason, are favored, or that maybe they play the political backroom game a little better than some of the other refs, because there's no good performance reason that Anthony Taylor should be getting these higher profile games, because at least three quarters of the matches I've seen him officiate, there's been just talking questionable 50-50 calls. I'm talking calls he just gets flat out incorrect, and they're flat out ridiculous.
All right. Enough said there. Sunday saw the match Liverpool hosting Blackburn. And that goes to a 0-0 draw as well, so we'll see a replay back in Blackburn next week. And I must say that Blackburn arguably was the better side in that game and could have easily won. And I just thought that they defensively, they were very well organized.
It's a play. I thought they were definitely the better team. Now, granted, maybe that's because, you know, obviously Liverpool, you're expecting a little more from them. But yeah, I personally thought Blackburn was definitely the better team on the day. And I did want to ask you this real quick, because, you know, I know you're more the stats guy, and sometimes I'm trying to play devil's advocate and saying that, you know, sometimes a stat doesn't mean anything. Liverpool has apparently been held scoreless at home only twice this year. year besides in cup competitions.
Sorry, you cut out again.
So, you know, what? Liverpool has been held scoreless two times at Anfield this year, both by championship sides. So what does that statistic mean?
You know? It means that they have a hard time against championship sides who are going to sit back. So maybe Premier League teams who go to Anfield should learn a little bit of something and just sit back.
Yeah, no, like I said, I just thought it was interesting because it was one of those, you know, you know, obviously the general opinion would think, well, it's a championship side, you should do better, but, you know, here you go, the two sides that have actually, or, you know, the two defenses that have actually shut them out at Anfield are two second division sides. So,
yeah, no, I was disappointed in Liverpool's effort, especially in the last 10 or 15 minutes of the match, where, you know, hey, you got to press on. It's better to go ahead and try to win the game. And if you get hit on the counter, hey, get a hit on the counter. But they didn't really put Blackburn in under any pressure in the last 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, and Blackburn definitely was the side that looked the more energetic and, you know, played better the last 20 minutes or so. Now, granted, I would put some of that down to I think it was a little bit of a psychological blow losing Skrtel that early, you know, because obviously Skrtel is the defensive rock in Liverpool, and, you know, he's especially dangerous on set pieces, and when they're not playing well, he's kind of, you know, he kind of does the job that Rio Ferdinand used to do for Man U, that if they're not playing well offensively, then he'll put in a crunching tackle and, you know, kind of get the rest of the team fired up with some of his physical play. So I do think part of that, you know, can be down to him having to leave the game with a neck injury or concussion or whatever it was. And especially that early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Early subs, especially in the heart of your defense, are something a manager never wants to make. All right, today was the final game of this round, which saw Arsenal defeat Manchester United 2-1 at Old Trafford.
Oh, what a glorious match. Yeah, it was a, you know, going to Old Trafford where you have an absolutely dreadful record there. And, you know, we turned it around. I only watched the first half, had to listen to the second half on my phone, because I didn't want to stay at work till 7. But from what I heard and what I saw, I thought we were the better team, even on the road. You know, obviously it was hilarious that Danny Welbeck got the winner, because obviously he being a former Man United player, you know, there's always that factor of the former player rubbing in his former supporters' noses in it, which always makes for good Schadenfreude. And I can't wait till the podcast is over and I watch the DVR, because I heard he also celebrated, which I'm glad, because that's one of the dumbest modern player things to me, is the fact that you're not supposed to celebrate against your old club, when I'm of the opinion, well, if you don't like it, you shouldn't have sold me. So
that's true, and the commentators on Talk Sport said the same thing. They said,
really?
They said people who don't celebrate against their old club, it's nonsense. So there you go. I don't remember who said it, but it was a voice I recognized. I don't remember offhand. As I told you, I only listened to about 10 seconds of the match, and that's when you guys scored.
Well, and that falls under one of those things that, you know, it's kind of like the same thing with criticism. Sometimes people take criticism too personally. It's the same thing. He's not necessarily celebrating because, oh, it's Man U and fuck you. And it's more about, hey, I did something good, you know, and you're more excited in the moment. It's not necessarily a personal attack against your old club. Now, obviously, supporters for their clubs are always going to take something personally, because you're always viewing everything through that lens of your club. But you know, to me, it's just ridiculous, especially the amount of money that's thrown around and what players go for. And again, Welbeck was one of those guys. He didn't want to leave. Van Gaal is just the one who wanted to sell him. So, you know, that's, like I said, I just always take the opinion, if you don't like it, you shouldn't have sold the guy. So,
yes. So Arsenal, the defending FA Cup champions, advance. So let's take a look here. We got some replays coming up next week, Monday, March 16th. Reading will take on Bradford, and Bradford are quite the battling lower division cup side. They're undefeated in their last 7 FA Cup matches.
Yeah, and just goes to show you the perception of Bradford lately is that when they had the draw after the match and we drew the winner of the Bradford-Reading match pretty much to a man and woman on my Twitter feed, everybody is now hoping that Reading wins that match because nobody wants to have to play Bradford and possibly suffer another humiliating defeat like when they beat us in the League Cup 2 years ago when they were in the 4th division.
Yes. The next replay would be then Wednesday, March 18th, where Liverpool will travel to Blackburn, which could be another interesting match.
Yeah, because as Blackburn showed on Sunday, they gave – I was shocked. I was actually a little bit shocked. Now, granted, like we said, a lot of this had to do with Skrtel being out, but I was pretty shocked how much Rudy Gestede, or however you say his name, was able to give Liverpool's defense pretty much fits all day. And I mean, he's one of those guys I basically only know who he is through Football Manager, and I know he's bounced around in the Ligue 1, Ligue 2, but yeah, I was pretty shocked at how many problems he was giving the Liverpool backline.
Yes, that was the case. So now, as we look ahead, Corey already told you the Bradford Reading replay winner will host Arsenal. And then the other matchup, I don't have it listed because it doesn't show it for some reason. But obviously, it's Liverpool versus Aston Villa, but I do not know where that match will be played. Do you know, Corey?
Shoot. I saw it earlier and I forgot. I want to say it would be played in Liverpool. But don't quote
me on that. For whatever reason, who scored doesn't have it up yet.
Say, don't quote me on that.
So, but we do know it will be Aston Villa and Liverpool, and regardless of where it's played, Liverpool will be the favorites.
Well, yeah, well, Aston Villa versus the winner of Liverpool-Blackburn.
Oh, you're right. I did jump the gun there. You're right. There is a replay. Sorry. So, yeah, no, Blackburn's got a pretty good chance.
Yeah, well, you know, just want to be factually accurate.
Yeah, no, good job. The problem is who scored only has the Bradford Reading versus Arsenal fixture up. So, yeah, I was jumping the gun there.
Yeah, so, like I just, you know, the Vinky's management of Blackburn has been so pathetic. I just don't want to, you know, short him any sort of possible accomplishment.
That's true. We do need to we need to talk about them as much as we can. For their sake.
Yeah, because they've been pretty poorly run the last few years. Not to the same extent, but yeah, the Vinkies guys have been kind of all over the map.
Yes.
Like the QPR guys, just being able to save a few bucks, where the QPR guys are spending money like it's crazy for them.
Mm-hmm, and it both ends up being terrible. So it is kind of funny. You get the two different management styles there with basically the same results.
Yeah, just Blackburn's been able to survive a little, and QPR may be on the brink of extinction pretty soon. So we'll have to see.
Okay, yes. QPR could be going the way of the dinosaurs. So, all right. Now, that first half of the show was really long, but that's okay. We had a lot to cover. So now we're going to lighten things up a little bit, Corey, because it is that time of the week, our favorite time of the week. It's time for...
Two Daft Yanks presents This Week in Daftness.
Braver than a matador in high heels in a pink tutu. Braver than a bullfighter with no knickers on.
How daft.
Oh yes, we have a special edition of This Week in Daftness for you boys and girls. It's a triple play, or to use the soccer term, a treble of This Week in Daftness, because there were so many daft occurrences, we could not leave just one out. And actually, there's a fourth one we could easily add, but I'm going to skip that because there's just enough to talk to about already. So, Corey, we'll let you lead off. I know you blogged about this first one, and there was a very daft story about one Manchester United player, Angel Di Maria.
Yeah, it was so ridiculous that I just had to throw up a quick blog post about it. That now, granted, it came from the Barcelona camp, so obviously we have to understand where the story originates from. But yeah, one of the former Barcelona, the longtime, I believe was the chairman at one point, but you know, longtime executive at Barcelona, Carlos Rihas, claimed that Real Madrid sold Angel Di Maria because he was simply too ugly for Real, which, again, it's so absurd that, you know, here's an executive level, you know, you would think here's a professional businessman type of person that basically is stooping to the TMZ level kind of shot at his rival club. So, like I said, it was funny, A, because it's just funny on the face of it, and B, it's funny because it just shows you that, you know, people are making millions and they still act like 6-year-old kids in a playground sometimes.
Di Maria. UGLY. You ain't got no alibi.
Yes, the Maria.
You ugly.
Yeah, and for his for the next shot at Real Madrid, Rihas is he's gonna say his dad can beat up Real Madrid's dad. So
Perez is gonna beat up Perez.
Yes, his dad can beat up Perez's dad.
Perez's dad's probably dead.
That's probably why he can beat him up.
Yeah. All right, so that's story one in This Week in Daftness. Story two. This is an interesting one, and I didn't see this. I didn't get to watch the match, but I guess it's on my profile on 2DaftYanks.com, by the way. But my secondary team is the German side, Cologne.
Geisbacher.
Yes, the goats, the Billy Goats, and sure enough, Corey, I don't know if you saw this, but the Billy Goat is the subject of This Week in Daftness.
No, I missed this.
Okay, so
please do tell.
And their win over the weekend, Cologne striker Nigerian Anthony Uja scores a goal. He then runs over to the Billy Goat mascot, the beloved Hennis the Billy Goat, and grabs him by the horns and starts to drag him onto the field, onto the pitch, before the handlers for Hennis knock him away in disgust.
Yeah, come on, man. You can't just drag the mascot around.
He grabbed the Billy Goat by the horns and lifted him off the ground. There's video of this. You need to go see it, and I'll try to link it on 2daftyanks.com in this blog. But so, Anthony Uja, dude, you should know better than to abuse your own mascot, especially a live animal mascot. Now, if it's, you know, an idiot in a stuffed costume, sure, go ahead, punch him, knock him down. Oh, but a live goat? Guy. I think PETA is probably going to have something to say about this.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, hopefully Anthony Uja never puts in an application to be Mutual of Omaha's Animal Kingdom host. You know, it's like, come on, man, you got to learn to handle the animals better there, chief.
Jeez, yeah, and to the beloved mascot of Hennis. I mean, he's beloved. I forget what number he is.
Well, yeah, well, that's
the 14th or something.
That should be common knowledge. Any school, any club, one of the main rules is you don't mess with the mascot. That's definitely sacred ground.
Yeah, so the Billy Goat got knocked around. So that is story number two in This Week in Daftness. And we are saving the best for last. This is shocking. Oh my goodness, this is shocking. Well, let me bring this up here. The article. I guess a hat tip here goes to the Dirty Tackle, who then was re-reported here in the slide I'm looking at in our favorite, Who Ate All the Pies. But did you see this, Corey, today? The controversy behind a kit maker.
No, I didn't see this one either.
Okay,
Yeah, I was busy today, you know, with the Man U Schadenfreude, so.
Okay, so this is a, is it an Indonesian? Hold on, I can't. Indonesian, I do believe. Yes, an Indonesian sportswear company by the name of Salvo, S-A-L-V-O. They make the kits for the club, and they have, this is a great name. It is the kit for Pusamania Borneo FC.
Uh-oh.
P-U-S-A-M-A-N-I-A. I don't know how you pronounce that. Pusamania Borneo FC. Their replica shirts are made by Salvo Sports. And as a joke, in quotes, the washing instructions on the inside of the jersey read as such. It says, washing instructions. Give this jersey to your woman. It's her job.
Wow.
Wash it. Yes. So the washing instructions are to give this jersey to your woman, and of course, firestorm everywhere.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, obviously, yeah, there's all sorts of things you could say that could be inflammatory about that, you know, the part of the world it comes from, you know, obviously the sexist connotations. Well, there's no connotations, it's basically in your face, but yeah, that's definitely, I think that has more to do with the part of the world it's coming from, because as bad as you can still see things in England sometimes being sexist, it's usually individuals and not a company that just flat out comes out and you know, says something that knuckleheaded.
So, yeah, a bad choice of words, and I understand, ha-ha, you're trying to be funny. But in this day and age, you got to know that you can't really get away with anything that may offend anybody.
Well, yeah, and especially something that has to do with any sort of popular political group, you know, minorities, women, which is technically a minority group politically. Yeah, you just got to, like you said, you just got to know better than, yeah, you got to stay away from anything that political, even, you know, even in that part of the world. It's just not good business.
So a lot of daft events in This Week in Daftness. We have ugly people, we have goat abuse, and then we have sexism.
Yeah, sexist kit makers.
Yes. So there we go. There's your This Week in Daftness.
Okay, well, okay, before we close the segment, can I ask real quickly, was the fourth one going to be the Januzaj stat that I IM'd you?
No. You should have mentioned that during the talk of the match, but you could say it now.
Okay, yeah, well, this will be just another fourth quick daft of the week. Adnan Januzaj now has more cautions for diving in his career than career goals, which I thought was hilarious. So, yeah, so that's it.
Yes. Januzaj, who, I forget, did he picked Belgium for his international? And he featured in the World Cup, right? So he's cap-tied now.
Yeah, I think he had a couple of sub appearances, if I remember correctly.
Okay, that's neither here nor there. So there we go. All right, well, let's get to the last portion of the show with many teams on a bye due to the FA Cup and their exit from the FA Cup. We are now, man, Corey, time flies. You look at the schedule here, and every club except Chelsea,
yeah, we're freaking just, March already,
has just 10 matches left in this season. Where has the time gone?
Apparently down the quantum physics linear time hole or something.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to me how this just goes by so fast every year, and it seems to get faster and faster as we get older.
Yeah, for me, it's once I turn 33, it seems like each year goes quicker and quicker.
So, with that in mind, let's just take a look at the table here and just kind of handicap how we see things as they lay right now. We'll start at the top of the Premier League. Chelsea's in first place at 63 points. Manchester City is at 58. So that's a 5-point gap, and bear in mind that Chelsea has a game in hand against last place Leicester City. So you could really kind of think that Chelsea's 8 points back, or 8 points ahead of Manchester City at this point in time. Arsenal is in third at 54 points. Manchester United in that last fourth spot, currently at 53, and then you got Liverpool at 51, Spurs at 50, and then Southampton, who has sped the majority of the season in the top four, in at seventh at 49 points, but still within a shout, just 4 points back. So just give me your quick opinions on how you think things will shake out and who's better positioned to reach European places.
Yeah, I still think it's by far Chelsea's title to lose, especially with the game in hand, because Leicester hasn't been able to win a match since I don't know when. And especially with depending on how their match goes in the Champions League, you know, Chelsea may be able to kind of coast a little in the league, which, you know, I don't literally mean coast, but you know what I mean. They may be able to have their eyes a little more concentrated on the Champions League. Because I don't know, there's just something about City that just doesn't instill any kind of confidence. Or not any kind of confidence, you know what I mean? That they just don't look like the kind of team that, despite all their talent, is going to catch Chelsea. Because despite Chelsea having a little swoon lately, I still think, despite all his shenanigans, I think Mourinho's going to be able to just kind of will them to the title. But as far as the other places in Europe, or you know, for the European spots, I think if we, and you know, obviously I'm going to sound like a homer, but A, I don't care, and B, I don't care even more. I think if we continue to play well, I think we might be able to overhaul City for second. I still think realistically we're going to finish third, possibly fourth, because I don't like the way Liverpool's putting results together, so I think they might have enough to overhaul us at some point. So at this point, I think my top four would be Chelsea, Man City, and then either us and Liverpool in you know, third or fourth, you know, either way. Because I think Man U has been punching a little above their, not above their weight, but they've gotten results that maybe they shouldn't have early, and I think that kind of luck is starting to run out with them, kind of like it did today. So I think they might be in for a run in the next few weeks of maybe results going against them. And then unfortunately Southampton, I think their kind of lack of their lack of depth is catching up with them, which, you know, obviously leaves y'all for the possible, you know, as the last legitimate club that may sneak fourth or fifth. And yeah, I don't like the way y'all are playing either, because y'all seem to be kind of grinding out those results lately too. And, you know, this is the time of year that it's not necessarily about playing well. It's just about getting those 3 points.
So isn't that a direct opposite of what you're just saying? We're grinding out results, but you said that's good.
Yeah, what I said was I don't like the way y'all are playing from an Arsenal standpoint, meaning that...
Oh, I gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, let me clarify that. Meaning I wouldn't want to have to play you right now.
Gotcha. Okay. See, I should have caught that. I was like, wait a minute. Your points are contracting. You're saying contracting. Contradicting.
No, you're right. Yeah. I didn't explain that properly.
No, I got you. Okay. And yeah, and I honestly don't think Spurs are a realistic threat to finish in the top four. We had our struggles. There's a lot of results, but any club you could, you know, point back to 2, 3, or 4 games where you're saying, how the heck did we not win that game? To where you look at the end of the season, you're like, oh, we could easily be there. So it's competitive. But I agree with you. I think Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, and I'm not sure. I'm not completely sold on Liverpool yet. But a lot of people do believe, like you believe, that Manchester United have been playing a tad bit better than they actually have right now. And you kind of saw that a little bit today to where things aren't too stable there. So yeah, it's going to be interesting at the top of the table, and I think it's going to come down to the title may be sewed up, you know, 2 or 3 weeks before the end of the season, but I think the majority of the European places could come down to the very last fixture date.
Yeah, because, I mean, Man City basically has to win out for them to catch Chelsea, in my opinion, and I just think that, you know, in this league, there's just too much competition that I don't think – Man City is going to be able to run off, you know, 9 wins or 10 wins in a row. That's just not going to happen.
Okay, let's jump to the bottom of the table. But before I do, and I've been wanting to mention this, but don't look down. Now, the top 7 are kind of grouped up at 49 points and above, and then there's a big gap of 7 points to the 8th place side. But that 8th place side is Stoke. So that's a pretty good achievement for them at this point in time to be in the position they are.
Yeah, they've taken advantage recently of West Ham's poor form and Everton's poor form to kind of sneak up. And yeah, because they're even ahead of Swansea. So they, like you said, they've Mark Hughes is a manager that sometimes doesn't get a lot of credit, especially when he was at City. But you know, I think he deserves some credit recently because, like I said, he's been able to get the results for Stoke recently and take advantage of the clubs around them who's been dropping points. So,
mm-hmm. So now let's go to the bottom of the table here. Well, Leicester City is in 20th at 18 points. Then you have Burnley at 22. Queen's Park Rangers at 22. So those are the 3 relegation sides. And then just above them you have Aston Villa at 25, 3 points ahead out. Sunderland at 26. And then Hull at 27, and I guess a lot of people, given their form, are throwing Everton in there at 28. I still think they're probably safe. That's 6 points out of relegation, but you never know. It seems to me Leicester, being 4 points behind Burnley and QPR, are in a great deal of trouble. And they have that weird situation where it was widely reported that their manager was sacked, but then he wasn't. And he's still there. So that shoe may or may not drop. And then you have Burnley and QPR. So I would say, are those 3 bottom sides, in your opinion, who currently occupy the relegation zones, more than likely the 3 sides that will take the drop at the end of the year?
I'm not quite sure because Villa still has that goal-scoring problem, and as good as you can play defensively, at some point you got to score goals because, you know, nowadays with the 3 points for the win, 1 point for a draw, you can't draw your way to safety like you could in the 80s. So at some point Villa's got to start scoring goals. So you know, obviously if they don't, then they're going to be in pretty good danger of actually getting relegated, which I think would be the first time since like 84 or so, or maybe even the 70s or something. But yeah, like Everton, I mean, Everton, they haven't won a match in what, like 8 or 9 games, I think. And they're, you know, they're kind of a club that's facing that problem of everything's going wrong for them at the moment, other than when they play in the Europa League. But you know, just in the league, their league form, they just, like I said, they're one of those clubs right now that just can't catch a break, and everything seems to be going against them. So yeah, I still think I am in the camp that thinks that Everton is definitely not safe by any chance. But yeah, my real concern, and maybe it's because I picked them to do well at the beginning of the year, is Villa, because like I said, they can't score goals in the league at all at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And I'm in the same boat. The team that I picked to surprise everybody was Leicester, and they have not performed at any reasonable level, and they're the most likely team to take the drop right now. So you and I are in the same boat there.
Yeah, and especially with Villa having Sherwood as the manager, there's just no telling what's going to happen there. I mean, you know, as you mentioned a couple weeks ago when he got hired there, he likes to play an attacking game. So he may be able to squeeze a couple goals here and there just by having a more positive forward. But at the same time, when he does that, is he going to leave himself open to counterattacks and dropping points late because, you know, he plays that high line to go with it? So, like I said, Villa's definitely in a very precarious and very interesting position.
Yes, and speaking of interesting, let's drop down to the championship. Now, we haven't talked about it lately, but this is usually the time of year where I start tuning into the championship and start paying attention at a close level. And until I saw this pointed out on Twitter, now we're looking at quite one of the best finishes that you'll ever see in any league right now. You have the top four sides at 66 points, and then you have another side in fifth at 65 points. And then the sixth place side is at 62 points. So you got those two automatic promotion spots, the four playoff spots, and it's anybody's game at this point in time. So right now, Bournemouth and Derby are in the promotion spots with 66 points on goal differential. Then you have Watford, Middlesbrough, Norwich, and Brentford at those other spots. And then you have Ipswich within a shout, a point back. And then I guess even Wolves, 4 points back. So I don't know what you think there. It's just the championship is so competitive. It really is unpredictable.
Yeah, I was going to say you could definitely throw Wolves in the
Yeah,
I was going to say, did you ask me something?
I did. Oh, did I was asking you about I heard you talk about Wolves. So I was just reiterating the point that the championship is competitive, and with all these teams and this big bunch, anything's possible.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to make the point that you could throw Wolves in the mix because they're only 3 points back of Ipswich, and they've been playing well recently. Their last two matches where they've lost and drew, but they had won like three or four prior to that. Or, you know, three or four straight prior to that.
Okay, so yeah. So
yeah, it's a pretty interesting race down there this year.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very interesting to see who gets those two promotion spots, and then the playoff is usually outstanding, but if things stay this tight, it's going to be another great promotion playoff. And on the flip side, when you look at the relegation battle in the championship, there's really not much of a battle to be had. Currently, you have Blackpool in last place and 24th on 22 points. And then you can jump up to 23rd is Millwall on 31. So that's a full 9 points back with just, 12 matches left to play? No, be 46. 10 matches. Sorry. So Blackpool, 9 points down with 10 matches. You got to think that they're done.
Yeah, Blackpool, but definitely.
Mm-hmm. And so, again, we'll talk about the risk that you take anytime you get relegated. You never know when you're going to come back up. Now, you know, just what, five or six years ago now, Blackpool was the darlings of the EPL with the way they played, and now they're looking at going back down to League One in just a few short years. You have Millwall, another former EPL side, looking at going down 31 points. And then you got Wigan, too, who was just in the EPL just a few years ago at 31 points. And so there's another jump of 8 points. So really, Wigan, Millwall, and Blackpool are pretty much all done. Blackpool for sure, but Wigan and Millwall are going to take – it's going to take something very special for them to survive the championship this season.
Yeah, now for all the people who say it's about trophies and – or, you know, that the only glorious trophies – for Wigan supporters, how many of those Wigan supporters right now would trade in that FA Cup they won a few years ago, or what was it, 2-3 years ago, for their, or you know, for their club to still be in the EPL right now?
I would hope all of them would say that, but there may be a few holdouts. Right.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's, you know, should be the main goal for a club to win. But, you know, obviously, in some cases, like Wigan's, it may be, yeah, they have the FA Cup, but, you know, 3 years on, they may now be two divisions lower, you know, and maybe 2-3 decades before we see them again in the top flight.
If that. So, all right. So, there is how things look in both the premier and the championship. And we're having some problems with Corey and his connection. But this is the end of the show. So, I think we're getting out just in time, Corey. So, just thank you to everybody for listening. And thank you again to the guys at Low Limit Football for the excellent time yesterday. So for Corey Chatelain, I am Chad Smith, and we will see you next week.
This has been the Two Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at TwoDaftYanks.com or at TwoDaftYanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the Two Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.